Hey there, and welcome to the Smart and Simple Matters show with your host, Joel Zeslovsky. Now, with apologies to my awesome guest for this episode, I'm not trying to do less. At least I'm not trying to do less of this show. In fact, I'm trying to do more. Let's see how this goes. This is episode number 38. Yo, I am happy that you are listening to me once again. Thank you for your time. And I'm eager to share the wisdom from my guest, Mike Burns. But first, let's you and I talk shop about this whole Smart and Simple Matters dealio. A lot has changed since the first episode was published in July 2012 and where I am right now, a year and a half later, at the end of December 2013. Now, in that year and a half, I've gone from 50 downloads per episode to 5,000 downloads per episode. Wow. Oh, kind of humbling stuff. And I know that you are one of the reasons for that growth, and I'm super grateful for your support. But you also know that I've had this dream of turning the show into a weekly one, and 2014 may be the year it happens. But I don't know that I can justify the commitment in time, energy, and even coordination. I mean, not to mention the hardware and software and the process upgrades that I need to make publishing twice as many new episodes possible. It's a lot of additional productivity I need to build in. And frankly, I'm just stuck. Interviewing awesome people and going solo from time to time is just about the most fun that I get to have while working. And it's even crazy. In some circles, people are actually more likely to recognize me by my voice than by my face, although I have a prettier voice than a face, so maybe that's a good thing. I know I've made an impact, but I just don't know how big or of what kind. Because the trouble with podcasting, at least for me, is that not everyone listens to an episode that they download. And for the people that do download an episode and listen to it, sometimes they don't listen to the whole thing. And when people even do listen to the whole thing, they often are doing something like running or commuting or making a meal, the kind of thing that doesn't allow them to consolidate the insight that they just gained and take action on it. I totally get it. I mean, the same thing happens to me with the podcasts that I dig, like Simple Life Together or Financial Mentor, The Audacity to Podcast, or Smart Passive Income. I guess what might tip the justification scales in favor of me committing to a weekly podcast is hearing from you. Maybe you could just spend a moment to let me know what's changed in your life as a result of listening to the show. I'm going to have links to do that in the show notes and how to communicate with me. They are at valueofsimple.com/SASM038. But you can also leave a voicemail on Value Simple. You can always share your story or contact me with the drop-down option in the contact link in the main navigation bar. And my email box, which is joel@valueofsimple.com, is always looking forward to seeing something from you. Man, I just get so jazzed. I want to turn Smart and Simple Matters into a weekly show, but first I need to know what kind of difference I'm making in your life before I can pull that trigger. So just regardless of how often I do this, thank you for your attention and thanks for your engagement. It means the world to me. I can't emphasize that enough. Okay, now let's get to the good stuff. I interviewed my guest, Mike Burns, for Smart and Simple Matters about 2 months ago, but his words are as fresh as a spring breeze. Ah, you are about to hear us talk about how to live when you can't control the outcomes, prioritizing in the moment of decision-making. You will also hear about how Mike is able to move his family of 8 across the country in a 6x12-foot trailer. Well, his family's not in the 6x12-foot trailer. It's their stuff that's in a 6x12-foot trailer. And you'll also hear about an elegant way that he avoids needing to be super organized. I really know that you're going to dig this one. So unless you are watching my Wisconsin Badger football team kick butt in their bowl game on January 1st, 2014, or are about to crack open my experience curating book, give this your full mental attention. Here we go. I was first introduced to our guest today, Mike Burns of theothersideofcomplexity.com, via friend of the show, Mr. Joshua Becker of Becoming Minimalist. And since that day, I've been digitally following Mike around the internet and having him pop up all over the place, even when I'm not expecting it. Now, it would be an understatement to say that Mike is an up-and-comer in the simplicity and minimalism circles because he seems to be on everyone's radar lately. That could be because he cranks out quality content on his websites, and he seems to come out with a new book every other second. I'm only slightly exaggerating. Like his Amazon hits, Simpler, Declutter Your Life and Focus on What's Most Important, and another one called Living Clutter Free with Kids in the House. Yet he still finds time to do awesome rap videos and be a great father. It really seems like a team effort in the Burns household as seven other people share the same roof in Phoenix, Arizona with Mike. That would be his wife, Jen, and their six kids. And he started another creative outlet recently, a parenting-focused website called So They Can Fly. And I'm pretty sure that if I interviewed him a year from now, I'd have about 50 bazillion other things to mention about that. I think I'm done now with your intro, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah. Well, let's start where I normally start and give people a bit of an understanding in terms of who you are and where you come from. Some of your origin story, the seeds of awesomeness. Can you tell us a little bit about you, your experience growing up, or maybe something about the environment that helps us understand why you've become to be the person that you are right now?
Sure. Well, I grew up in a home, a military home. My dad was in the Army, and so we moved around a lot. And it is funny, as you're even asking that question, I was thinking, wow, it is amazing how much of our past tends to lead to our tendencies now. And so because we moved a lot, you know, we always had to kind of make choices about what stuff we were going to take with us, what was going to stay behind. Never got terribly attached to kind of the places we were living because we knew it was limited because my dad was going to get stationed somewhere else. We were going to transition. But grew up in a military home. Probably one of my earliest passions that I would say was significant, was skateboarding. I, at about 12 years old, picked that up and for 5 years, ate, slept, thought about, watched videos. Everything was all about skateboarding and how can I get better at that? And how can I watch the next video? And how can I learn more about this kind of thing? So, and to be honest, looking back, I feel like skateboarding kind of in a way saved my life. It kept me out of a lot of trouble that perhaps other people in the area were getting into. It just gave me something to focus my attention on.
What do you mean by that? Got you out of trouble. Did you, by focusing so intently, not literally eating skateboards, I'm sure that would be very delicious, but eat, sleep, living, breathing, having that kind of experience, were there some challenges or struggles that you would have otherwise had to face if you didn't get focused into that?
Well, a lot of the people that I was around were making decisions that were unhealthy for their futures, you know, at least. And skateboarding gave me something that I love that I could just invest large amounts of time into that taught me multiple disciplines. I mean, the ability to be able to focus on something, to take calculated risks. I sound like I'm creating a blog post on this. Maybe I am. To take, you know, calculated risks. Can I do this? To be able to make adjustments. I mean, a lot of really disciplinary things were kind of tweaked and fine-tuned in my life during that time. So I loved it. I mean, I just knew I was going to become a pro skateboarder and a DJ for hip-hop music. So those were kind of my two things early on. So throughout all of my life, I met my wife in college, and we have been married 18 years now, which is amazing. I just turned 38 this week. We have six kids, three boys, three girls, ranging in age from 8, who will be 9 in next month, all the way up to almost 17. And man, along the way, I've done a variety of things, but all of them were related to just a desire to kind of to figure out how can I live well? How can I be what I should be in my relationships? And then also, how can I influence other people to be able to help them with whatever things they're going through, whatever struggles or whatever complications they may find? So I get tremendous like personal value from adding value to other people.
Yeah.
So backing up just a bit into that with the story, when you start having several children fairly quick, which it was intentional, it was what we wanted to do, it also was difficult because things got way more complicated really quickly. I was fairly, you know, young from a career perspective, trying to find my place in the workplace. I had a new wife of a few years. I had kids, you know, that needed my attention. So I'm trying to juggle all these things. And I pretty quickly started realizing I've got to figure out, at first the question was, how do I get it all done? So I started kind of pursuing time management and those kind of things. And
productivity hacks. And
productivity hacks, yeah. Mm-hmm. Got connected with Franklin Covey pretty early on. Actually worked as a productivity consultant for them for a couple of years. And the thing that kind of stands out from that experience was just their focus on priorities. So that's definitely something that affected, you know, who I am and what I became years later. Because, you know, all the time I was thinking, what's most important to me? I get that there's all these options out there. There are all kinds of things that I could do. But I got to figure out what's important to me in my life. You know, when I'm, you know, old and gray and looking back on my experiences, what will I wish I had done? And then I got to back up and say, what do I have to cut out and eliminate so that I can live that life that I want to live?
Well, I think you just hit on something pretty important, this priorities aspect. And I admit I've gotten a lot better at prioritizing over the last few years since my personal renaissance began, but I still struggle mightily because you can set priorities, but then the reality of life creeps in and resets them. I just had a son. I'm reprioritizing everything as a result of it. And it's this constant state. So you were talking about wanting to do well by your family and also wanting to have influence and help other people outside of your household. I got to imagine, though, even if you get really good at prioritizing, sometimes you can't act on those priorities. Do you struggle with that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things, when I think of priorities, they're constantly changing. As you said, you know, different circumstances come up. And when I talk to people about priorities, you know, I assume that you're going to have priorities both in your planning, but then also in the moment of decision. You know, you have to have that time where you back up and you sit down and you look ahead at, you know, the desired future and say, what do I hope my life looks like? What? And maybe, you know, some people are more goal-oriented than others. Maybe that's a goal list. But for others, it might just be, how am I going to live? You know, what are the ways in which I want to live? Because I can't control the outcomes and all that. So you have to have those times, I feel like. But then you also have to realize that no matter how much you plan or how much you prioritize on paper or on the front end, it's not going to go exactly according to your plan. So that's when you have to realize that prioritization is necessary in the moment of decision. So here, now I'm faced with this new piece of information. I can't let my arrogance or my, you know, pride in my plan stop me from going, oh, now that I know this, you know, I can't just count the activities in my life. I have to weigh them also. So I have to be willing to say, oh, now this has been added into the mix. And so I've got to kind of reassess what's important to me now. And even from a values perspective, you know, you talk about the value of simple, you know, there are things that were super important to me, you know, 5 years ago, and today they mean considerably less, if anything at all, you know. And it doesn't mean that I'm a completely different person. People who know me would still say I'm the same guy.
Yeah.
But what's going on in my heart and mind, you know, I may have different focuses. So yeah, so it's a constant struggle.
I'm totally with you there. And I feel like evolution is a good thing. That if a year later I seem like I'm the same guy, then at least to me, I feel like I'm doing something kind of wrong. Kind of along the lines of the person where everything goes exactly according to plan. Well, first of all, I don't know that that person exists, but if they did exist, I'd want to ask them, how did you make that happen? You must have completely eliminated all outside inputs in order to focus so intently on whatever it was you were doing that things went exactly according to plan. And that just kind of seems strange to me. Mm. But this concept of priorities, and I think you've previously written about this topic of what if. Or as say Courtney Carver, who's also been on the show, would say, just in case. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned you have six kids. And how do you handle that question, though, of what if all the time? When you have these kids, when you have this wife, and you're a creative guy, you have lots of possibilities. What is handling that what if question look like to you?
Well, one of the things that helped us realize that we actually will need those things less than we thought was a few years back, we moved twice within a 1 year period of time. And when we were going to move the second time, we realized that there were boxes in our garage that we had not unpacked from the previous move. So they sat there for nearly a year untouched. And as we started moving those, we realized, okay, why would we continue, you know, manipulating? Because, you know, we would have to do something in the garage, so we'd have to constantly move them around. It took effort. It took time. And then we were going to have to pay to have these things moved to our next place, either in our own, you know, sweat or paying right. someone else to do it.
Serious schlep equity right there, as my dad would say.
Yeah, for sure. So we just realized, like, this is ridiculous. And a lot of those things were in those boxes because of that. Well, what if? What if we need them? What if something happens? What if the economy, you know, fails or whatever? And I even have a friend who recently he was talking about kind of storing up things in case, you know, the whole world caves in and those kinds of things. And he's like, what are you going to do? And I jokingly say, I'll probably die.
Make a terrible survivalist.
Exactly. Huh? Exactly. Just from a shock perspective to see what he says. But, you know, the chances of our worst fears coming to fruition are not near as likely as we think they are. And even in some of those cases, I mean, that was an extreme. That's more of a joke. But even in some of those cases, even if we realized what we fear, to me, it's not often as bad as the weight of carrying and managing all of these things, both physical things and mental clutter that so many people carry. So so for us, you know, that experience with those, you know, basically we took those boxes, we dumped it all out on blankets and threw a yard sale sign up. And that was kind of one of our first, let's get rid of a bunch of things.
Yeah.
And then we almost got to where we enjoyed the challenge. And we did that a number of times leading up to, you know, when we moved here to Phoenix 8 months ago, we moved from Buffalo, New York. So it was a great opportunity for us to say, hey, let's kind of take a drastic measure here. So we did, we got rid of everything except what would fit in a 6x12 U-Haul trailer. There's eight of us. So if you, you know, draw out a 6x12 space, that's about, I think they're 5 feet tall. And we got rid of everything except what would fit in there. And literally, I think I put some pictures on the blog to show kind of what the trailer looked like. It was basically mattresses and Apple products. I mean, that was about it and a few other things. Now, obviously, we don't live with just the contents of what will fit in a 6x12. We moved here. We purchased a few things. But right. The process was nice. It helped us kind of realize what do we not need. And then we've only kind of added back in those things, you know, that are important to us. I think I got off track. I'm not sure if I was answering
the question.
No, it's
okay. You're continuing a theme from your childhood. You were talking about being in a military family and moving along and having the opportunity to have a bit of a reset each time you move, a forced reassessment of what kind of stuff you want to have in your life and what's important to you. Yeah. And being forced to do, a lot of people aren't forced to do that. You know, I moved into my current house about 2 years ago and I'm not planning on going anywhere. Maybe, who knows, for decades. Yeah. So who is going to force me? Who is going to prompt me to reassess everything around me? Nobody is. So I better have the self-awareness and live an intentional life where that's a constant state of something that I think about. Otherwise, things are going to get awfully wacky and messy, especially with two little dudes running around the house. Yeah. But you hit on something kind of good. It's kind of a rush. It feels good. You know, that first garage sale and putting things out, there's smiles and the good vibes are spreading. Is there a predictable way besides getting rid of stuff, if you will, maybe the internal battle that we face that you can generate these positive feelings from simplifying or from organizing?
Well, let me back up just a bit from that and touch on something you and I talked about a little bit before we began recording, is that... For me, even though I gave a couple of examples of extreme things that we did, that the extreme parts are not the parts that are most valuable to us as a family anyway. You know, I'm encouraged when I read, you know, these guys who, you know, all of their belongings fit in one backpack.
All the digital nomads?
Yeah, yeah, man. They run, you know, their online business from their iPhone from the top of a mountain. Or, you know, I mean, I love reading about that, and it is encouraging to me. It reminds me of how little we actually do need. So those are motivational, and I think that's great for them. It's not even something I would want for my life. That's not the life that I would want to live. So simplicity is not about how extreme can I go, how much stuff can I get rid of, but rather, you know, how can I make sure that I'm not tied to so many things, so that I can be tied to whatever those things I have determined in my current situation are most important to me. So, you know, this concept of packing lightly, you know, of living lightly, and just Jen and I were talking just the other day on we do value travel, you know, and moving around. And for a family of eight, we move way more frequently than most people do, and we enjoy that. We couldn't do that if we had so many attachments, if we had so much stuff that we would have to manage, if there were so many, you know, kind of anchors that we had dropped down in so many places. Now, to some people, that's not what they value, but it is something that we value. Right. And this idea of making sure that we see things in their proper perspective and that we don't allow our lives to get so cluttered that we lose touch with what's important to us. Yeah, so the mindset, sorry.
Oh, no, that's important. It's the context. You're not trying to tell people how to live. You don't claim to know the right way. You just know what works for you, what allows you to live intentionally, what allows you to have the focus and the priorities that you want. And it almost seems like decluttering is such a big word. I don't like the word decluttering. I actually ranted about it on Value of Simple last year, and I probably won't rant about it again, but I'm more about, kind of like you, being anti-distraction as opposed to pro-decluttering. And it sounds like you're the same way, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's the idea behind even the name of the blog, The Other Side of Complexity. When you're creating a blog and you're trying to determine what your URL is going to be, that's a long one. but it so clearly states kind of how I view all this stuff. And I know it requires a little explanation, so I wrestled with that as well, but in the end landed, you know, on keeping it, because I do believe that if we try to paint a picture like life just really is simple, and if you would just open your eyes and see that, it would all be good. I just don't think that that is most people's reality. I think that when I walk around and try to figure out how to wrestle with all these things I see in life, I think that it is complex. Whether it should or shouldn't be, or who made it that way, it is not the issue to me. It's just that life can become complicated. There are complexities that we have to engage with. And we either have to separate ourselves from all the world around us and live a little isolated life, or we have to figure out, how do I work through these complexities, but be able to prioritize and simplify so that I know in the midst of all this, I can live a simpler life, as you know, I titled the first book. And others may not call it simple, but it's simpler and it helps me accomplish, you know, what I want to do with my life.
By the way, I love the literal naming of your website. I'm an incredibly literal guy. So The Other Side of Complexity, boom. Yeah. I know what this is about. Yeah. Value of Simple, yeah, there might be some clever things going on there. And sure, it might be Twitter friendly, but it's not the most literal thing that I've ever done. And I struggle with that too, in terms of being concise or being straightforward and being transparent. And there's a place for both, and there's a way to do both. But you mentioned something about what simplicity allows you to do. And I know you've previously talked about relationships. Mm-hmm. So what does simplicity mean to you in terms of your ability to have deep and meaningful relationships, whether it's with your family or whether it's within a community that you really care about?
Sure. Well, for me, family, hands down, is my primary focus when it comes to relationships. And, you know, most obviously, eight people live in my house. So there's no lack of relational need you know, within 100 feet of me right now, you know?
I bet.
Yeah. So, so that alone is enough to, you know, to, and again, it's not a bad thing. I absolutely love it. You know, I'm not struggling with, oh, my kids want to spend time with me and it's so hard for me, but I know it's important. I want to, you know, and I've got kids, you know, of multiple ages that I get to do. I get to read little kids' books and I get to hang out and watch The Office with the older ones, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's a wide range there. So within the house, but then also I have been fortunate to have even distant relatives, and even, you know, starting with my parents, with aunts and uncles, and I even have one grandfather still living. None of my side of the family live here in our area. They're all kind of across the country, but I still maintain a very vibrant, beautiful relationship with them. And I'm grateful for that, because that's not something that I could have brought into being. It's just the way my circumstances have been. And because I have such a good pool of relationships there, I want to be faithful to that. You know, I want to show appreciation to them, you know, for what they've done for me all my life. So those,
well, how do you do that though?
Yeah.
How do you keep this pool of vibrant relationships for people who don't live in your local community?
Yeah. Well, that's where social media is a very positive thing for me in that area, because we can, you know, share I have the blog side, and then I have kind of a me separate from that. And I know different people do it different ways, but I kind of keep the Mike Burns on Facebook is more for people I actually see, you know, face to face, or my family from across. That way I can be more kind of open about every single little thing and post pictures of my kids and, you know, doing all kinds of things so that my family can see that. But so that people who want to read the blog are like, I don't care about seeing a, you know, 1500 pictures of your kids. So,
right.
So that's helpful. The phone, Skyping, you know, you and I are Skyping this interview right now to be able to, have, you know, weekly conversations with my sister, with my parents. It is a challenge. It's not easy. But it's something that's important to us. So, you know, past family, you know, friendships, we're new to this area. So most of our adult friendships are, you know, still across the country. So, you know, it's phone calls and digital things that way. Obviously we have some friends locally, but it's a new area to us. But yeah, so I would say family and friends predominantly.
I'm the same way, at least when it comes to social media. I don't particularly like Facebook, to tell you the truth, although there is a utility there, and I use it just for family and friends. Like if I don't know you as a friend, or we don't have some kind of history, there's plenty of other places for us to connect. We can be on Twitter and Google Plus and LinkedIn and who knows. Mm-hmm. But Facebook, I kind of use the same way when it comes to sharing pictures. And it is nice to have these different outlets, these different channels, whether it's social media or whether it's email, whether it's Skype conversations. It really is cool. Even though technology is exploding and the number of options are almost overwhelming sometimes, each channel can be really good. And when you set an intention with each one in terms of what you use it for and what kind of people you interact with and what you share, I find that to be a key to simple living as well, and living intentionally, which is pretty cool. See, I want to shift gears real quick, because I love asking this question of people, and I have a feeling you've got something interesting to share here. Maybe you've heard me talk about experience curating, or curating your existence. Does that sound familiar?
It does, yep.
Okay. So can you tell me, how do you, if at all, curate your existence? All these amazing experiences you're having with your family and what you create. Do you use Evernote, spreadsheets, Pinterest, social media of some kind to archive and organize and share all that kind of stuff?
Sure. So let me reach back into your former question and add a piece in that'll tie it to this one.
Oh, wow.
Just because you mentioned specifically these things that we create. One of the ways that we kind of, I'll say, archive experience is, as a family, we do create a lot of content together. And that's also part of the former question, because you asked, what are my passions? You know, so I mentioned relationships, but then also creating things. Like we talk a lot in our family. That that's one of the big yeses that we pursue, which is why we have to say no to so many things, is that we want to bring things into existence, right? We want to make something out of nothing or make something out of something else. We want, you know, we want to just create. So we write. We in our home, I think, one, two, three, I think we manage 5 YouTube channels out of the house. Because 3 of my kids have a channel, then I've got just a personal one and one that's tied to the blogs. And so at any given moment, you know, we'll be walking through the house and someone will go, shh, 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 we're recording. You have to be quiet and
red lights on.
Exactly. Because someone's recording a video. And so, you know, we have, they're weekly putting things online. The great thing for us as parents is that becomes an archive. You know, we go back and watch those old videos and we say, oh, look how short you were. Oh, look, remember when you got, you know, that bruise on your face because you hit the wall or whatever, you know, kind of thing. So it helps us to be able to relive some of those events, and definitely kind of draws us closer that way. So more specifically on kind of the tools, definitely Evernote is something that I use every single day. I am not a spreadsheet guy. As I mentioned to you, you know, spreadsheets intimidate me. I don't know. They just seem more intelligent or organized or something. I don't know why, but, through the years, I've tried a lot of different tools, and I've gone from an organizational perspective, from someone who scheduled out every 15 minutes early on when I was trying to get a grip on this thing and put everything. First of all, I do value taking everything and dumping it onto paper in front of you, because I think, first of all, that's scary, but then it helps you be able to make intentional, good choices about what you're actually going to do, because you can't get it all done.
Yeah.
But I've gone from trying to make it all squeeze in there, which was not, never became a reality for me because stuff always came up, through a lot of different tools to where, to be honest, my primary tool is my brain prioritizing in the moment. Now, I am a planner. I do prepare. I'm looking here at, you know, this Evernote sheet here of a lot of things for that we would potentially talk about. I haven't looked at it once yet, but you know, I did prepare that way.
Yeah. Hey, what do you want to talk about something in particular?
No. It was just, it's just a lot of stuff that yeah, might be helpful if we started going, ooh, you know, which I didn't anticipate would happen.
I have never had a guest yet where we've just kind of stared at each other awkwardly, assuming that we're looking at each other over Skype, or sometimes I do audio only and it's just dead silence and awkwardness. And you're like, so, how's the weather in your area? Do you have any dogs or cats in your house?
Right.
Thankfully, hopefully that trend continues.
I think that, so for me, Evernote is right now the primary way because I love the searchability of it. And I'm also a Mac guy. So with Apple products, the search functionality is just amazing. So I can command spacebar and start typing any word that might be, whether it's a Word document or an Evernote note or a video name. And then it pops up this list over there. I can click it and find it, which eliminates the need for me to have to be hyper organized.
Yeah.
I don't have to create all these folders and subfolders and make sure they're in the right one. I just make sure that I capture the content and then it's searchable. I can find it whenever. So that's what I really love about it.
Yeah.
Because I want it to be at my fingertips, but if it can save me time by not having to spend so much time preparing it. The concept of processing to zero is huge to me. I do use, like, I use iCal as my calendar. And then I use Evernote predominantly to capture things or create lists or make to-do lists or whatever. For the most part, those are my two main tools that I use. And I live by what my calendar says. You know, it's, I can change it, but I'm going to do what my calendar ends up saying. If I change what I do, I change what the calendar says so that it is an accurate representation so that I can learn from what I did yesterday and plan better for tomorrow. But the idea of processing to zero, so capturing everything, and yes, I still grab a napkin and take a pen and scribble a note down on it, but I know that within 24 hours, whatever I scribbled on there is going to be in my system. You know what I mean? And my system can change, but just the concept of capture everything and then put it somewhere where you can make conscious decisions. I may look at where I put it and decide to say, no, I'm not doing that today, and drag it somewhere else. But that way, Mike's making the decision and not just the circumstances. Yeah. You know what I mean? So anyway.
I do the same thing. I'm a PC guy, so I like Google products and those kinds of things. But my Google Calendar, I do what it tells me to do. But if circumstances come up and I can't do that for whatever reason, then I'll move something to later in the week. But yeah, I'm driven by what's on my calendar as well. You brought up the however you organize, whether you do it on the back of a napkin or whether you do it with some fancy technology tools, it doesn't really matter as long as it works for you.
Absolutely.
Although I will, you mentioned folders and subfolders and how people organize. Oh God, if there's one thing that I could change about how people organize, especially digitally, it's this whole folder concept of just hierarchy, one folder within another, within another, within another. Ugh. There's this great podcast that I listen to called Simple Life Together, Dan and Vanessa Hayes, and Dan Hayes talks about this too, and nobody trains us how to organize, especially digitally. Like, how do you know that there's a better way through search functionality or through tagging than what you've been used to and what you've been trained to do? But color coding and folders within folders, those are paradigms that I would just love to blow up and show people that there are different ways.
I may be digging into some of your material on that too, because I am enjoying writing ebooks now, as you alluded to earlier.
Yeah.
I've got two that I'm working on. I'm not sure which order they're going to come out or exactly when. I've got some ideas, but one is just on digital decluttering, and then the other is on time management, actually. So how we view time and how we make our decisions on how to spend our time. So the decluttering one, the digital one, is a little more challenging for me because I'm having to really dig into what other people say about it, because I truly use so few tools. I really have chosen to eliminate all the unnecessary so that I can just do the couple of things that work for me. And so I feel like, you know, one page could actually say what I want to say, but I know that, you know, other people are dealing with other challenges and situations. So I'm trying to do the work for some of the readers to be able to find solutions to their problems and not just things that work out with me, but it's a challenge.
You found a downside to simplifying and stripping away so much of the excess in terms of the tools that you use. You simplified to the point where it's so simple that you've reduced it down to a page?
Or I'm just saying that I feel like if I were going to talk about it, I would just say, you know, hey, here's two things you can use, and you don't, why sweat anything else? And here's, you know, maybe all the other pages would be, here's all the reasons why you don't need this, and here's all the reasons why you don't need this. But when it comes down to it, some people just love the tools. You know what I mean? And if people, you know, if it works better for them, and just the feel of, I like to go here for this and here for that, if they have the bandwidth to be able to manage that, and that's kind of the life that they want to live, then, you know, who's to say, oh, that's all clutter for you? It may, like you said, you don't like clutter, but, you know,
that's okay. It's not a dirty word.
Or anything. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So anyway, I ramble.
I do too. So if you don't need a lot of tools, it sounds like you do need the right people, though. And I'm wondering, you know, outside of your family and maybe even your community, do you have go-to resources? If there are people who are listening here, maybe they're new to a lot of the concepts that they're talking about, intentional living, focus, prioritization, some of these things that are really big with the two of us. Do you have people who inspire you on a constant basis to be a more focused person, to live more intentionally?
Yeah, probably 3 years ago, close to 3 years ago now, my family and I were, you know, I'd already been, you know, passionate about this concept of priorities, but, and the phrase less is more had already begun to kind of influence me some, but the, maybe this minimalism, you know, crowd, these people who promote those kind of things, it wasn't really, you know, something that I knew much about. And as a family, we went to the library together, and I saw a book by Leo Babauta, and I'd never heard of him at the time. So grabbed that, checked it out, and man, I'm losing the name now. I think The Power of Less, is that what it's called?
I think so.
The one that he actually has a physical copy of, yeah.
But so, we're talking about Mr. Zen Habits here.
Yeah, absolutely, Zen Habits. So I grabbed it and began just really connecting with what he was saying there. And since then, since that day, that fateful day at the library. I've followed his work, you know, ever since then. So for the past several years, every week, reading whatever he puts out on his blog and whatever ebooks he releases. I mean, I'm all over that. So Leo has definitely been a significant influence over me over these past several years to continue. And I love how he's willing to change, you know. He's willing to say, oh, you know, goals were super huge to me. And I wrote all these posts about how you can accomplish your goals. And then when he found it to not be of value to him anymore, he's willing to say, oh yeah, I don't think goals are so good. You know, and whether I agree with, you know, his word choice or not, I value his willingness to say, I'm on a journey, I'm trying to figure this thing out. And in this transition, here are some things that I'm learning.
That really surprised me too, because I've been following Leo for probably 3-4 years now as well. I started reading him when I started reading Joshua Becker and some other folks, and the whole no goals thing. I still have lots of goals. They drive me, they motivate me. But this concept of living life without goals, it is really intriguing. And I actually saw Leo and Tim Ferriss, 1-hour video. They basically had a debate in terms of living life with goals and not living life with goals. I'll have to figure that where that is and link to it in the show notes, because it's really cool to see these dueling perspectives, both seemingly valid, about living without goals or living with goals and still having a great experience, still being valuable to your community, still feeling a sense of purpose and self-worth. It's a pretty cool contrast. And there is an alternative way, and maybe someday I can try it to some extent, but right now I do still dig the goal thing, even though there's that alternative out there.
Yeah. I saw that video as well. Very, very intriguing. I love to see them kind of go back and forth, and they handled it very well, I believe. So,
well, let's talk about something else that's inspired by, Leo Babauta. You have some Babautian beats, I believe. This is pretty recent. There's a Do Less rap video on YouTube. I'm going to link to it in the show notes because it's freaking awesome. And I want people to see it. I'm actually surprised that it hasn't gone viral yet. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, growing up, I was heavily into hip hop. Again, like I mentioned to you, I just knew I was going to be, you know, a DJ, and that was one of my goals. And, you know, that kind of went away for a number of years. And, so I still like a wide variety of music, including hip hop. And so an opportunity came for a few contests. I don't know if you're familiar with Rhett and Link, but there's some pretty famous internetainers, as they call themselves. And they, do funny videos. And so I kind of got connected in their community, and they had some contests. And so I started kind of making some rap videos for those contests initially, and just really enjoyed it. I won a couple of the contests. And so it was something, again, that my kids and I could do together. And so we started thinking about, you know, how can we help people understand this message a little more? And so, Leo not too long ago came out with a new post called Do Less. And so I thought, man, we could make a rap about this. And so sat down and just kind of typed it out, and then searched online for someone who created beats and would let you use it for free, and, you know, tweaked it and created this Do Less rap video. And it basically is just trying to encourage people to do less so that you can accomplish more. Yeah, it was fun. Really, really good.
You know what I'm going to do? Well, I've got two thoughts. One, instead of the standard outro music for Spartan Simple Matters, I'm actually going to play a 20-second clip at the end of this episode.
Great.
Do Less, so that people can get a taste of it and hopefully go to the show notes and click through and watch the whole thing, because it's really cool. The other one that I had in terms of contests, I've seen you on Jeff Goins, writer, winning contests online with a lot of your creativity. And although you and I were not in competition with each other, we're here to support each other. I got to tell you, Mike, if I know that you're involved in the contest, I'm probably not going to try to join myself, because you rock the heck out of those contests that you join in, and you're really successful with them. Teach me those secrets someday.
I wish I had more time to be able to do those. And while you see several, they don't happen terribly often. I mean, I think I've only done maybe 3 music videos this year. I think that's true. I'd have to go back and look. But the Jeff Goins one was really short, and he put that contest out. I mean, the way that went down, literally my son and I were on a trip to VidCon, actually, the YouTube conference. And we just played these loops of beats, and I knew his contest was coming up, and obviously I knew I was going to do a rap thing for it. So I listened to them over and over again, picked which one, came home, typed it out, and literally that video was my iPhone. I have this monopod that's kind of, you know, that holds your phone. So I'm holding the stick myself with my iPhone filming me while I'm doing that video. I mean, it literally was really, really quick, and it was good. There were some good videos in that contest. I was very pleased.
Yeah,
so yeah, it was fun.
Even a bigger accomplishment, because you're right, the competition was pretty good there. Well, we could go on and on and talk about all kinds of things, but maybe we'll save a few things for a follow-up. I do want to ask you one thing right now. Is there something that we did not talk about that you would like people to know?
I'm not sure. We've kind of touched on it, but one of the things that I always want to encourage people, because we have both talked about simplifying and organization, right? And I have friends. So for me, I am fairly organized. Like, I'm the kind of guy that everything has a home. I always know where my keys are because I always put them in the same place. So that is kind of my nature, and that's how I roll. And so because of that, some of my friends who have heard me talk about some of these things will be like, well, yeah, but that's because you're organized. And I always want to encourage them to say the idea of simplifying is actually a separate issue from organization. And simplifying may even help you if you lack in the area of organization, because if you have trouble sorting and, you know, organizing all of these things, the less things you have to mess with, the easier it is to organize them. And so from an encouragement standpoint, I just want to say to people, like, you know, this idea of simplifying isn't about you trying to become a minimalist. In fact, most people would say about me, you know, that I'm one of those minimalist guys, but I never walk around saying that about myself. You know what I mean? Because it's just not a label that I'm interested in people calling me.
Yeah.
It just, within it, there are some things that have helped me to be able to live the kind of life that I want to live. Not perfectly, not exactly, because life is complex, right? But I don't want people to feel like they have to sign up for this extreme lifestyle and only own 100 things and give up their favorite, you know, TV shows and items and all that. It's just a matter of you determining, hey, what's important to me? And it may not look like Mike's life, and it may not look like Joel's life, but I've got to make sure that I've decided these are the things that are important in my life. And so that I can do them, I'm going to have to say, no, my capacity, my time is limited. My mental capacity is limited. My emotions are limited. I only have so much to give. And so if I'm going to accomplish those things that I've determined are important, I have to say no to a lot of good things. You know, you mentioned applications and social networks. You know, that's one great example. There are more tools than you could ever use. You know, pick which one works for you, whether it's just you like the graphics, whatever, and then use it to live the kind of life that you want to live. And we did touch on those things, but that is what drives me to talk about these kind of things, you know? Because like you said, I'm not trying to make people photocopies of myself. I'm not trying to write so that other people live my life. I realize that everybody's got something in them that, you know, gets them up in the morning and drives them to keep on kind of, you know, walking through these days. And I want to find ways to be able to help them say, you don't have to try to do it all, because we know you can't. You've only got so many things you can do. So which are they, and how are you going to accomplish that?
Yeah. It's a difficult thing, that yes, no decision. It would be great if there was a little more gray, but I'm somebody who works really well as an either or kind of guy.
Sure.
But the default a lot of times needs to be no.
But along
Thank you for
lines,
saying yes to this, by the way. Incredibly roundabout way of saying I appreciate the fact that you've been on the show, because I bring a lot of people on the show who are really good at saying no. Some people have told me no multiple times before I actually get them on here. So it's really cool when somebody is able to share their insight.
Well, within your area of passion, you know, within the greater yes that you've put on the table, you know, there are going to be times where, you know, it's kind of rhythms to where there are times when I'm doing, you know, I may push it on how much I actually can get done, you know, and there are times when I set deadlines for content that I'm creating that I have to push back because I've overdone it, you know. But there are things we need to do more of. I mean, I had a recent post on when less isn't more, you know, there are some things we need more of. So it's not that because if we're not careful, we'll start saying, well, if one's better than two, then zero is better than one, you know, and then we find ourselves sitting alone in a room with no relationships and no activities and no fun, you know. So to me, I want to be bumping up against that line of, oops, I pushed it on doing too much. And then I want to exercise these tools that I've been developing so that I can say no and keep my focus, because I want to live. I mean, I've got my phone's over there, but my the screensaver on my phone is solid black and it just has one word, live, in the middle. I want to live today. I want to experience life, and I want to, you know, pull as much out of it as I can. And I don't mean that by like too much, but for me, I've got to be bumping up against my limits. I don't want to just say, I'm not sure where my limit is, so I'm gonna, you know, take it all way down here because this is what I find value. And for me, that's not the case. So I would say, man, throw a lot of yeses out there and then pay attention to it, so you can say, oops, dang it, overdid it, you know? So, but again, that's just my opinion.
Yeah. For the people who want to hear more, whether it's Baboutian Beats or blog posts about The Other Side of Complexity or your new site about parenting, where can we find you online?
So it's theothersideofcomplexity.com. And the other blog about parenting is sotheycanfly.com. And on those two sites, you can find links to everything else that we've got going on.
All right. Anywhere in particular on Amazon in terms of your books that people should check out?
Probably the easiest. Twitter is at @MikeMikeBurns. But on, you know, for the books, the easiest thing would be go to theothersideofcomplexity.com. And then, you know, on the main menu, there's one that just says ebooks. You can click and see all the explanations of those.
Groovy. Well, thanks a ton for your time and for this lively conversation, the vibrancy carried throughout.
Thank you.
Well, hey again. So after listening to this episode, what do you think? Is Mike Burns awesome or is Mike Burns awesome? Yeah, he is pretty awesome. Show the man some love on Twitter at @MikeMikeBurns. Or head on over to his online hub, theothersideofcomplexity.com, to see what kind of grooviness he's already generated and what he is about to bring into the world. And I bet you probably have not forgotten that I want to hear from you too about this show and how it's changed you. Please do that in the show notes, comment section, or with various links around Value of Simple, some of which are at valueofsimple.com/SASM. 038. Thanks for your help in making 2013 a great year for my business and personal growth. I mean, I have some wickedly cool and difficult goals for 2014, like pulling off this whole Simple Rev event thing and marketing my upcoming experience curating book as well as it deserves. But whatever I do, I just want it to be helpful to you. So do not, I repeat, do not be shy in suggesting a new project or approach for me in 2014, or any year for that matter. All right, I hope you kick serious booty in 2014, or whatever year you are listening to this in, and thanks again for your presence. We all have a ton to contribute, and I am uber stoked to see what that might look like for us. Now, as promised, I am ending this episode with a snippet of Mike's Do Less hip-hop video. The full version is linked in the show notes, and I highly recommend it. Okay, it's time for your partner in simplifying to sign off again. You've just listened to the Smart and Simple Matters podcast with Joel Zaslavsky, creator of all things Value of Simple.
Do less. You gotta say no to say yes to the things in your life that you determined all the best. If you wanna do more and really see more, be free more, then you gotta commit to do less. You gotta get a handle on the mess, so you can find some relief from all the stress. And that ton of bricks are sitting on your chest, may I suggest you do less. You know the guy, Mr. Busy Busy, but he's not really getting the right things done, is he? He's running and working and hustling and going, he's doing way too much, and there were no signs of slowing, but it's gonna catch up. He's gonna feel the pain, he's gonna feel the drain. I hope he changes lanes, Life's too short for him to play the game. If they run too fast, it might go insane. Find out what you love.
What?
Find out where your passion lies. Don't surrender to the busy and the flashing light. You gotta focus on the beauty of this passing life. And if you're gonna choose your actions right, then you gotta say yes to your dreams and the things that it seems that you most esteem. People, not things. And when they ask you how you find some peace and happiness, you know what to say. You can tell them, do less. You gotta say no to say yes to the things in your life that you determined all the best. If you wanna be more and really see more, be free more, then you gotta commit to do less. You gotta get a handle on the mess, so you can find some relief from all the stress. And that ton of bricks are sitting on your chest. May I suggest you do less?